This audio presentation is the teaching of Pastor J. Wynn Gonsalves of New Hope, East Hawaii. In his message entitled, Restoring the Unrestorable, Pastor J. Wynn reminds us of the five steps to restoration, not only restoration as in returning someone or something to its former glory, but in fact, that God's idea of restoration is to make someone even better than before. This message was delivered on February 19th, 2017. Here now is Pastor J. Wynn.
Every time I get up here, I tend to look outside and I say, did the dog just say good morning? Wow, that's a wonderful dog, yeah? If you guys wasn't going to tell me good morning, at least the dog was. You know, if I said on a sunny day, it's a beautiful day to be in church, and then I said, on a rainy day, it's a beautiful day to be in church. So what days is it a good day to be in church? Amen. Amen. Give yourselves a hand. Last week, I was absent from New Hope, East Hawaii, but I was taught, okay, that no matter where I am, if I'm on vacation, if I'm camping, no matter where I am, I should go find a church, find some saints, and go to get together with them. And I was blessed because I got to take some aloha from New Hope, East Hawaii over to New Hope, Las Vegas. And I got to see Donna Ishii, which we know as Donna Santiago, and give her a big Hawaiian hug and share some aloha. Yeah? And so it was so nice. You know, I got to get together with these guys. And the message was about fellowship. And I was like, wow, right on. We just confirm everything that I was taught. And then what it also did was it really, really made me miss our fellowship. I tell you what, you know, in our fellowship, I'll give you guys this. You guys really know how to love people. And you guys really know how to make people feel really welcomed, even if they're just visiting or if they're from another church. You guys are the greatest church in the world. So give yourselves a hand, please. We went on vacation because, man, it's, you know, through the holidays and all of those things, you get so bound up. And one of the things that I was contemplating was my career. And I was thinking about my career, and I remember one time at the beginning part of serving and doing ministry, I sat down with Pastor Alex and I said, Pastor Alex, you know, I think I want to quit my job and I just want to serve God. And he goes, well, are you making money doing your business? And I said, yeah. And he goes, okay, and what kind of ministry? I said, I just like serve. I'll figure it out. And he goes, hey, look, you called to ministry, not to be stupid. And I said, oh, okay, got it. And so I was praying about it. Pastor Alex gave me an answer. He says, look, keep doing what you're doing. I said, but Alex, you know, I get so much of the word in me. I want to share it with people. And he said, you can do that right there at your job. And so I said, okay, so I've been doing that at my job, and then things come up, and I'm like, man, Lord, do I really belong here? Is this what you have for me? Is this where I should be? And he says, you know, wherever you are, I am able to speak to you if you listen. Wherever you are, I can use you if you allow me to use you. And I said, okay, Lord, what is it you're trying to show me? You know, and when I was coming up and I knew I was speaking, the word that came to me was restoration. And lo and behold, what I do for a living is I restore stuff, okay? I own an auto body shop. And so I was thinking like, okay, Lord, speak to me. What do you got for me? You know, as I'm thinking about restoration. And he goes, what you do for a living is when we do collision repair, we want to take the car and make it look like nothing ever happened. We restore it to its original condition. And he says, I can use this example with you because you also do custom work. And in custom work, we take what was not so nice, and not only do we restore it into what it was when it was original, but we take it above and beyond. And if you read in the Bible the definition of restoration, if you look in your bulletins, there is the definition, okay? In the Bible, the biblical meaning of the word restoration is to receive back more than has been lost to the point where the final state is greater than the original condition. The main point is that someone or something is improved beyond measure. And this is what God always shows me, is that with man, they do well. But with God, he goes above and beyond, and he does great. Amen? And so if you look in your bulletin, on the first point, you know, I said, Lord, so what, you know, what's the correlation then between what I do and what you do? And he says, well, I kind of use the same steps as you do. And I said, okay, so as I'm working on a car, he's showing me these things, yeah? The first step of restoration is to assess the object to be restored. So for me, when someone brings in a car, if it's collision work, I look at it, I take pictures, I bring out my iPad, like I know what I'm doing, right? I bring out my iPad, I take some pictures, I make some notes, I look at all the parts that needs to be replaced or repaired. I go in, I sit on a computer, yeah? Sounds so auto body like. Yeah, I sit on a computer and I type in some stuff and it calculates the total. And then I look at the blue book value of the vehicle and I decide whether or not it is worth repairing. This is called a total loss. If it is above what the vehicle is worth, it is called a total loss. So I look at the vehicle and I assess the damage and I assess whether it's worth repairing or not. Well, with God, in the beginning, when Adam and Eve were in the Garden of Eden, they were perfect. They were without sin. They had one commandment. The commandment was, do not eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Right? Everybody know that, right? That's the one commandment. They only had to do one thing. I always think, if that was me, I swear I could have followed at least that one rule. I could at least follow that one rule, but they couldn't even follow that one rule, right? And this is what happens. In Genesis 3, 8 to 13, it says, and they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. So this is the picture that you always see, yeah, where they're hiding themselves with a fig leaf, yeah? That's like the real famous picture. That's what they was doing. It says, then the Lord God called to Adam and said to him, where are you? So he said, I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree of which I commanded you that you should not eat? Then the man said, the woman that you gave me to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I ate. And the Lord God said to the woman, what is this you have done? And she said, the woman, the serpent deceived me, and I ate. Now, in this short passage, we could do like 1,000 sermons, right? You guys can see them all already, right? But what we're talking about is, what happened is, in the Bible, they call this the fall of man. This is where man became sinful, was when they ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So now, they became sinful, and God, when this happened, he assessed the situation. He looked and what happened. And we're talking about one all-powerful God, the creator of everything. At the touch of his hand or the snap of his finger, he could have had them disintegrated, had been over with, they would have been done, he could have melted the earth and gone back to heaven and nothing, and this would have been fine. We would never have existed. But instead, he assessed the damage that was done, and he says, okay, I can restore this. And now remember, now this is between 4 and 8,000 years ago. And he said, I can restore this. When this happened, when man became sinful, he did not say that, oh boy, you guys didn't mess up. I'm going to wash my hands with you guys and I'm going to be over. This is a total loss. But instead, he assessed the damage and he says that man was worth restoring. Thank you, God. Amen. Moving on to the second point, the second step is to plan the restoration project. So anytime I take in the job, I say, okay, it's worth restoring, so now I got to go ahead and plan the job. I got to plan how to restore this project in the most efficient way. One of the guys that I really look up to as a car builder, his name is Chip Foose. If you guys ever heard of Chip Foose, yeah, you guys heard of Chip Foose, huh? Chip Foose is a master car rebuilder. I mean, this guy is like the man. And not only is he a car rebuilder, but he's also an artist. So what he does is he gets with people, he finds out their interests and the people, their loved ones. He finds out everything about them, and then he gets to work on this pad, and he sketches it out. He sketches out a plan on how he's going to restore the car. He gives them different options, and he presents the plan. And as he looks at the plan, I mean, every single option that he gives is like, oh, I'll take any one of them, you know? And he's just that good. And you guys who build houses, you guys do the same thing. You guys draw out a blueprint. You guys draw out a plan on what it's going to look like so you can accomplish the plan. Well, God, if you remember, in right after that verse in Genesis, remember, and he says, you know, to you, serpent, you will be on your belly eating dust the rest of your days, he says. Yeah, he tells him that, and he says, and I will put enmity between your seed and her seed, and you will strike his heel, and he will bruise your head. And what they were saying is that the seed was going to be the Messiah, and the Messiah, he was going to hurt the Messiah when they crucified him, but that was a minor infliction, which is a heel wound, but he was going to crush his head, which would be when he resurrected from the dead. And that was the plan to remedy what Adam did. If you look at your bulletins on Genesis, on Romans 5, 17, and 18, now this is after the burial and resurrection of the Messiah. Genesis was long before the Messiah came. So now after the Messiah, this is what he's talking about. It says, for if by one man's offense, which was Adam, remember he ate of that fruit that he wasn't supposed to, the only one commandment that he never had. He says, death reigned through the one. Much more, those who receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as through one man's offense, judgment came to all men, resulting in condemnation, even so, through one man's righteous act, the free gift came to all men, resulting in justification of life. So what he was saying was, this was the plan. Even though Adam kind of messed that up, God had a plan to restore men. And Romans kind of backs up what they said over in Genesis 3. And so for me, after I realize I make a plan, how am I going to do this? What am I going to do? How am I going to get this thing done so effectively that I would be able to not only please my customer, but also be profitable? And so I always think with God, like, God, what's your motive behind this? You know, what's the motive? Why did you plan it out this way? Because at some point, God had assessed me, and my mother prayed, and she prayed, and the church family prayed, and they prayed. And then God said, he looked at me and he says, you are worth restoring. And then he said, I have a plan. My mother sent me this scripture. It was Jeremiah 29:11. It says, for I know the thoughts and the plans that I have for you, says the Lord, thoughts of good and not of evil. And the result would be that he would give me a future and a hope. And so he had this plan, but I wasn't falling into that plan. And so because I was part of the restoration project already, we had to move on to the next step. On the third step is to disassemble the object of restoration. To disassemble the object of restoration. When we talk about disassembly, that sounds so painful. Yeah? It is. It's very painful sometimes, you know? It doesn't just sound painful. Sometimes it is very painful. You know, if you read the history, if you read the Bible from the beginning to the end, okay? You know, if you skip through and you only read certain stories and you pick and choose and you read Daniel and you read David and you read, you know, all these different ones and all the heroes and Samsons and Pauls and Jesus, if you just only hear the stories, you think of these men as wonderful, perfect men. The only one was perfect was Jesus, okay? But you think of all the heroes of faith, yeah? Oh, it's the guy from the Bible. Oh, he was perfect. Not so. Because throughout the history of the Bible, the Jewish people, who was God's chosen people, they always went like this, up and down, up and down. And what happened was, God, he brings them into like a wonderful place, and they forget God. And then God takes them, and he exiles them off to someplace else. What he did is he removed his blessings and his grace. He removed it so they could see what they would be without God. Nothing. And they never realized it. They would go through a long, long process. I mean, they're in the land of milk and honey, the place that they was promised, the place they wanted to be. They forget God. They worship other idols. So God take them, he take them into captivity. And after they're in captivity so long and they're getting treated like slaves, they turn and they cry out to God again. And that's what he had to do, even to me. He took me, he dismantled me, he put me in the middle of a desert in Eloy, Arizona. Oh, man. You like talk the wilderness, that's the wilderness. Being in the middle of Eloy, Arizona, away from Hawaii and the good food, family and friends, the aloha that you receive from being in Hawaii, I mean, stripped, bottom naked. You cannot have nothing. You cannot do nothing. You're not in control of anything. Wow. You like talk disassembly. That was disassembly. And that's why I say, I know it hurts. In the scripture, it says this. This is your lot, the portion of your measure from me. In other words, what he's saying, brah, this is what you deserve. That's what he's saying. Brah, this is what you guys deserve. He says the Lord, because you have forgotten me and trusted in falsehood, therefore I will uncover your skirts over your face that your shame may appear. I have seen your adulteries and your lustful neighings, the lewdness of your harlotry, your abominations on the hill in the fields. Woe to you, O Jerusalem, will you still not be made clean? This is what he's saying. Okay, if you guys know the history of Israel or Jerusalem, Jerusalem is the wife of Jehovah, of God. He is God's wife. And being God's wife, when they go off and they worship other gods, they are committing adultery. He says they're neighing and all the things they're doing because they were longing after other gods. So he said, hey, you guys like hurt my feelings and you guys like fool around on me. Then you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to take away my provision and my blessings. And I'm going to reveal you guys' shame because you guys nothing without me. I remember when I was younger, you would hear all the stories. Yeah, my friends, they would be like, kicking my wife out or my girlfriend out. And you know what? She kind of take the car or this or that or this or that. And I'm like, why are you being so mean? That way she got to come back. You know? And so that's what God was doing. He wanted them to turn back around. He says, I'm going to leave you with nothing. Right? He says, I'm going to leave you with nothing because I want you to turn back to me. God never cast off Jerusalem and he never cast off his people. What he was doing was he was revealing himself in a way that you guys are nothing without me. He never wanted to be without them. And it's the same way with us. You know, with God. And I remember sitting down and I looked up and I said, Lord, this is like some cruel joke because I believe in you, you know? I do believe in you and I believe that you exist. So what is the point of this? And when I realized that I was bare and stripped and had nothing, the only thing that I had left to do was turn to God. I remember reading a scripture that says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And when you alone, the one thing that you like is company. And if I'm talking to myself, then I'm going nuts, right? So I said, man, God, you got to be real. You got to hear me. What's going on? My mother would send me scripture. I would eventually start looking in the Bible. I would look in the Bible. I would read certain things. I would ask questions. And I asked, I said, what is it that you want from me? I stopped asking the question, why? I said, Lord, what is it that you want from me? He says, I want you to surrender it all. Every aspect of your life, I want you to surrender to me. And oh, how I love to be in control. Man, so this is really hard for me, right? And so he says, once you surrender to me, the process can begin. And I said, oh man, I like this get over with quick. You know, and I said, okay, Lord, I surrender to you. Which moves us to the fourth step. The fourth step is to repair the flaws. So now when I get this car totally disassembled, so I can get every nook and cranny, every part that's, you know, not visible from a car that's totally assembled, I can take it apart and I can start working all the flaws. I can start doing my metal work. I can start doing my filler work. I can go ahead and pound out my dents, put some filler, put some primer. Everything's going to get it because now it's disassembled. Whereas if it was assembled, I could only get certain parts. But now that it's disassembled, I can get every nook and cranny and everything possible. If you see some of the guys, the way they do it is they take it and they put it on a rotisserie. Yeah? They put it on a rotisserie and they roll it around so you can get everything up and down. Man, I hate the feeling of being on a rotisserie, man. I've been there, man. It's rough. And so that's what God does, right? In Hosea, okay? Hosea, these guys, man, at this point, they was bust up, but they priests. Okay, now, back in the day, the priests would represent the people. And the priests, they were so far gone. Yeah, basically, they were stealing from God. Yeah, they was taking the good offerings, they was putting them on the side, offering up junk offerings. They wasn't even really hearing from God because they were so vain already. I mean, just out of control. And so, now the people, they're in a bad place because the priest was in a bad place. And so, he says this, come, let us return to the Lord, for he has torn, but he will heal us. He has stricken, but he will bind us up. After two days, he will revive us. On the third day, he will raise us up, that we may live in his sight. Let us know. Let us pursue the knowledge of the Lord. His going forth is established as the morning. He will come to us like the rain, like the latter and the former rain to the earth. So what it is was, these guys, excuse me, they were in such a bad place, yeah, that they got to the place where they said, okay, Lord, I surrender. I give up. You win. We was better off where we were before. Heal us, restore us. So now he was able to take apart, grind, patch, fill, do all the things he needed to do so they would return to him. And this is the thing that I've learned. And unfortunately, some people will preach to you and act like God is this magical God who just makes everything good and sprinkles down fairy dust and he's walking around with a bag of flowers. It's like, oh, okay, you surrender. That is not the God we serve. Unfortunately, we, as man, we do this by faith. And the things that we do is products of our faith. And in this book, God is so graceful, yeah? We never had to guess what God wanted from us. We never had to guess to see what God wanted us to do because he gave us a wonderful instruction manual of his heart, a letter that would say, this is what I desire of you. You know, the restoration wasn't God just being magical, but now he had opened my eyes and my heart to the Word of God, and that when I read the Word of God, I started to understand what was going on in this book. Because before that, I could have no idea. I could read this thing. I would read like three scriptures and I'd fall asleep. Like the book would hit me on my head like this. Boom. You know? And that's how it was when I read the Bible. And when I started to seek after the heart of God, and I started to read my Bible, I started to think and I started to look. And he taught me how to be a child of God. And he taught me how to be a husband. And he taught me how to be a father. He taught me how to be a member of society. He taught me how to be under authority. He taught me about humility. He taught me about patience and kindness and love. I mean, he taught me these things. Those were the things that were hard and they hurt. Because in my mind, I was convinced that I really was a good guy. I said, man, I actually am a good guy. You know, I get all these other guys doing all these other bad things. You know, look at me. I'm not that bad. And he said, compared to my standards, there's not one different from another. And he says, this is the things that you need to learn and that you need to work on. And I was like, wow, this seems like so much. But God is not a God who's overbearing or overwhelming. You know, people, they come to church one time and they say, oh, I got to stop smoking. I got to stop drinking. I got to stop swearing. I got to stop doing this. I got to stop doing that. I cannot do this. I cannot do that. That's not our God, okay? Our God is gentle. He's a gentleman. And he comes upon you lightly, and he helps you. Not only does he give you the call to do it, but he helps you accomplish it. Amen? On the fifth step, which is everybody's favorite, right? The fifth step is to reassemble the object of restoration. So reassembling the part is like my favorite because, you know, like for me, the car's all painted. Everything's body worked. Everything's nice. You put it back together. When you're putting it back together, you see the puzzles coming back together. Oh, it's beautiful. You know, everything comes together nice. The gaps line up. The hood closes good. The doors close good. Everything's nice. They got the color they wanted. It's shining like glass. Oh, man, it's such a beautiful sight. You know, with God, you know, I always think like, oh, God, you know, I see these things. That way I can understand about myself. And he says, I want you to take it one step further. He says, I want you to see these things that you understand not only my plan for your personal life, because this is not only about you. I can use you so you can understand my process, but this process has not only been about you. There is a plan not only for Christians, but also for the Jews and the world. And this plan is coming together. And he says, I want you to understand this. And it says this in the end, in Revelations 21, 1 through 4, it says, now a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Also, there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be there with them and be their God. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, no more sorrow, no more crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. Amen. And so this is a picture of the earth and the new heaven and the new earth. The restoration of the earth will be perfect. Everything will be perfect. You know, my plan was today, I was going to bring some old cars. I was going to put it out back there. Some things that we have restored, some that we never, but has already been restored. We're going to put some cars and motorcycles and all of that stuff because my friend Craig, I wanted to make him drool. I was going to put some cars and bikes and trucks in the back. And I was supposed to have sent Pastor Aaron some pictures, and the pictures were going to come up of the process of the restoration so you guys could understand the process of restoration as I spoke about it. But what happened was, as I was praying about this thing, the Lord says, I have a better restoration project that I want you to show. And here I am. I stand right before you right now. I am glad that the Lord did not count me a total loss. Somebody prayed. He developed a plan. He disassembled me, even though it was tough. He started to fix the flaws. He reassembled me. And when I say reassembled, when it was time to go to prison, man, I did not want to go. You know, I had money, I had cars, I had my family, I had stuff. I had all of these things lined up that I did not want to lose because I felt I would never regain. Things that I worked my whole life for. I said, man, I'm going to lose all of this, man. You know that song, Starting All Over Again? It's going to be rough. You know that song? Oh, man, I feel that guy's pain. And so I was scared. And as I went through the process, and I read the promises of God, I said, man, does this apply to me? because I messed up. You know, it wasn't like I just went, you know, somebody, I doing them for God. I did some wrong stuff that got me here. And I tell you what, the Lord brought me home. He restored my family better than it ever was. He restored my finances. He restored my work. He restored my relationships. I mean, He restored my health. I mean, better health than I was when I went in. I mean, all of these different things, the God of restoration, if He can restore one whole new world with a new heaven and a new earth, how simple for Him to restore us. Just a speck in this whole little universe. And sometimes we doubt God, but we say we believe the Bible. I believe everything in the Bible, but we can doubt the restoration that He has. When I look at my life, and I look what He's done for me, I think like, wow, Lord, how You can do them for anybody. Pastor Scott, on Thursday, we're sitting down. We do devotions on Thursday, and we're sitting down, and he said this. He says, okay, your message. And this is all written up and typed up and everything ready. He goes, your message. He goes, if it's unrestorable, then why waste your time restoring it? You know? And he left me with that. I couldn't even give him an answer, right? So I left, and I was going throughout the day. Me at my shop, I like to take on these projects that are like bust up, yeah? The money's not good in it at all. The money part, you're lucky if you break even. But what I've learned is that after you do a car that's really, really bad, and you get it really, really nice, nobody goes up to the car, shakes the car's hand, and say, wow, you're a pretty looking thing. What they do is they look at the rebuilder and the restorer, and they give it honor and praise. People come up to me and they say, wow, man, nice job. Oh, you do a great job. Wow, you do excellent. Wow, you didn't fix that. Oh, that thing was beyond repair. And I like that. I like to be complimented. I like people speaking about my craftsmanship. It makes me feel really good. It also brings me business. With God, He likes when people look at His handiwork and His craftsmanship and what He has done and who He has restored and the process by which He has restored it. And if you look at my life, we can give God honor and praise all day long. And I have people in my community, in my family, and people who are just acquaintances that did not know God. And because of what God has done in my life, they want to know the God who has restored me. Amen. Right now, we're going to give you an opportunity, okay? Because this is not something that we do on Sundays, okay? This is not just one Sunday thing. We get your check mark, check, and we call it a day. This is real life. This is not one made-up story or one fable just to make you guys feel good and motivate you through the week. This is real life. This is the things that happen. This is what God does every day. And so we'd like you to get an opportunity. If you do not know Jesus Christ and you would like to receive Jesus Christ, we would like to give you an opportunity to accept Him as your Lord and Savior. Now, attending church, being born as into a Christian home, or even, you know, knowing some Christians or believing that God exists does not get you saved. What gets you saved is understanding that Jesus Christ came down as a man, died on the cross, was buried, and He was raised again for our sins. And if you can believe that, you will be saved. If you guys would like to bow your head with me, and I'd like to say a prayer with you. If you would repeat after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank You for Jesus. I thank You that He has died for my sins and rose again. I receive You, Jesus, as my personal Lord and Savior. If you said this prayer for the first time, I'd like you to raise your hand, please. Thank you. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, You have seen the hands and the heart who have received You, Father. even if they did not raise their hand, if they have received you and believe that you are God and the Lord of their life and receive you as the redemption of their sins, they are saved, Father. And we thank you for what you are doing in and through each and every one of us, Father. Continue to bless them, guard them, get them into a fellowship that they would be able to grow and prosper and represent you. Father, we thank you for the restoration that you have done in the past, the ones that you have done today, and what you will continue to do in and through our lives every day. Father, we love you and praise you. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
You've been listening to Pastor Jaywin Gonzalez of New Hope East Hawaii. New Hope East Hawaii meets each Sunday at 9 a.m. at Christian Liberty Academy, 16-675 Milo Street in Keauʻu, Hawaii. For more information, call us at 808-936-6651 or visit www.newhopeeasthawaii.com.